You're listening to the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show, produced by The Banyan Collective. Find more mind-blowing podcasts at thebanyancollective.com and on iTunes. The Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show, adventure for your ears. This is the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show. We're at the 10th annual Ogden Climbing Festival presented by Black Diamond. We are in Tan Van down by the Ogden Union Station. In the van with us here is Cedar Wright and Alex Honnold. And Alex, I think we were pronouncing your name wrong. It was like Alexis Ronaldo or something
that's,
like that.
That's fine by me. That's my soccer superstar in Brazil.
I like Ronald.
Ronald. Alex and Cedar, how do you remember when you first met? And so, because we saw the video of when you've met a few people, and there wasn't a lot of words explained or said. Was that similar, or were you guys like old chums and there was a lot going on?
You tell the story this time, dear.
Well, it was pretty romantic. It happened on the side of El Cap, on a very classic part of El Cap. Called the Salathe Wall. I was down. I was actually stranded, I believe, and I really needed someone in that moment. And Alex appeared out of nowhere.
Happened to be there.
Yeah, it's actually a true story. Yeah. It's a true story.
Yeah, it is actually.
And did you immediately help him, or did you think?
Yeah,
about
no, no.
It?
I was like, oh, these dudes need a swing around the corner, so I gave him a swing. But.
And the rest is history. Or was the rest history? Was there a gap right after that?
I don't actually remember. Then we did a trip after that. We went to the Czech Republic together maybe the next year, probably.
Yeah, about the next year.
And then we've been sort of doing trips on and off since then.
Yeah.
But
how often do you have to push Cedar up a climb?
Every time.
Yeah, I always pack a tow rope now. But, you know, yeah.
Alex is a performance rock climber. I'm a lifestyle climber. So there's a definite performance gap.
Performance
gap. I like that.
You can use that term for all sorts of things, too.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Every time you fail on something, you fell through the performance gap. It was too big a gap.
The
you just
performance
fell.
Gap just wasn't there.
when Ogden reached out to you, Daniel reached out to you, Alex, to come to Ogden, what are your thoughts? What are your initial thoughts of Ogden climbing history?
I honestly know nothing about the distinct Ogden climbing history. I just sort of lump it into Salt Lake in general and like Utah. And I mean, because I know a lot of Utah climbing. Mm-hmm. But I got a little bit of the history on the drive in here, actually. But I didn't realize that like the Lowe's were from here and there was like the
yeah.
whole.
Yeah. So we have, and you might have missed it, but Jeff Lowe's poster is right around the corner here. We had him.
Just to inspire.
Just to inspire us, yeah. So signed, of course, from our hills that you can see from this back window right here up in. And some of the things that he invented in the sport was amazing, and it all started in just kind of hanging out in our backyard, literally.
Yeah, I didn't know that until an hour or two ago.
The bent shaft ice axe, right?
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
Yeah. Compression straps, believe it or not.
Ooh, hey.
Was that, I know.
Really?
Yeah, for real.
Hope he got the patent on that.
Yeah, that's a simple one.
I don't think
he
did.
That would have helped fund that.
Yeah, he wouldn't be looking for sponsors. He's all sponsored by my extremely enormous bank account.
Yeah, well then, good. I'm glad you're here because we're sort of proud of the climbing history to come out of Ogden. It stretches pretty far back, and then there's some like new stuff that came out of it. Ice climbing was a big part of it with Jeff Lowe. So yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, we have you as Alex is kind of at the forefront of free climbing. I saw you have a new a pack. Right. The Han Solo, I think, is that something that has been endorsed and tried lately, I guess?
Well, nobody's quite tried it yet, but but I'm sure it'll work fine.
Okay. I'm sure. Yeah.
As long as they land on their back from about like 10 feet, they should probably survive.
Well, by 10 feet, it wouldn't have inflated yet.
That's right.
Whose idea was that? Was that over a nice
Yeah. Did they reach out to
that?
You or?
Would they reach out to me? Yeah. It was Black Diamond's idea.
It's really funny,
a friend of mine at Black Diamond came up with it. But it's pretty genius. I mean, it does work. Like, I mean, they built it. It's obviously not going to save your life, but, like, the pack, like, does, you know, blow a freaking
like you said, if you
Mondo
your
out
back.
Of it. Well, if you fell from, like, 100 feet onto water, you know, it might work.
You'd break every bone in your body because you'd
no,
land
No, I don't think
on,
you
like,
would.
A...
I think it'd be like a raft. You would just go shabam, like a mattress. It'd be amazing.
Dude, I think you would die.
I don't know. The problem is that the fan would like go through your back because there's like a full hard battery, like lithium ions with a fan. It's like, that's not that soft.
I feel this is how your adventures start, or these conversations. No, we couldn't. Yes, we could.
Yeah.
No, we're going to die. No, we're not going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it has to hit just the right sweet spot where you're like, oh, well, we probably won't die. In this case, with the backpack, you would die. Like, no question.
That's how suffer fests were born, I think.
Yeah. We don't want to do Death Fest, you know.
Yeah.
Rockets?
That'll be
that'll be the
horrific death of two of our favorite world's
That'll
favorite
be our climate. Final film.
Yeah, nice.
Dude, Fest. That would make so much money. You could like fake it and retire to an island somewhere.
Seriously, we should fake your
Cedar's
death
probably two seasons away from that. Just being like, my joints hurt too much to do this any longer.
Oh, I got
to
fake my death and cash out.
We asked
like Michael
you heard it here first. Yeah, exactly.
We asked Cedar earlier what was like the best thing climbing, having you as a partner. What's the best thing having Cedar as a partner?
Well, you know,
like his answer came a lot quicker, but that's good. Yeah.
No, I will say, you know, being able to document the process and share the good films and all that is like
so
a big
he
plus.
Can't climb, but he can photo.
Or he can take a good picture.
Take good photos.
Yeah, it's kind of like going hiking with my elderly aunt or something. You know, she doesn't hike that fast, but she gets a good photo at the end. But
so, do I dare go? What's the worst thing about climbing with Cedar?
The performance gap.
The performance gap.
Like the freaking on Sufferfest too, and I wanted to climb that amazing new route on which thing is that? The King of Pain or one
King
of those
Pain,
random
so I
towers?
Seen a second ascent.
But yeah, exactly. I wanted to do the there was like an amazing 13+ open project, cool, beautiful stemming with chalk on it. I was like, oh, let's do that. And he was like, I want to climb this overhanging off with loose blocks. And then he dropped a huge block on me, and I was like, why are we climbing this like chalk? Overhanging off with, and we could have done this like classic looking clean corner.
So it's Cedar's but, fault, of course.
Well, because Cedar's like 513, that sounds stupid. Let's go climb this 511. I was like, let's not, because it's gross. It's
you called this in advance.
This is, no,
by
this
the way.
Is what I deal with
all
yeah.
the time.
Yeah,
yeah, but you know, I put up with it because you know, what else am I gonna do?
So if there was no Honnold, what would the climbing scene look like, Cedar?
Without a Honnold,
yeah.
It'd look exactly the same.
No, it'd be smaller probably. Honnold's grown the climbing scene a lot because of his notoriety, and I'd say he's been good for climbing as far as awareness of climbing, you know? I mean,
yeah,
the whole 60
minutes
thing
stuff. Yeah,
was
totally.
Really big.
Totally.
Really big for, like, raising awareness and climbing, and it's good. As much as he's, like, a douche to me, like, to the overall as a person, he's a pretty good guy, you know?
So, to the public.
To the
public. Adoring fans.
Yeah, he's, like, really nice. Yeah. He'll, like, take the selfie and sign whatever, right. And, like, you know, I mean, it could be worse, I guess, you know, that's all I'm saying.
So does it get old, Alex, or you know, like, when you go to conventions and stuff, and do you ever think, I just want to break?
No, not really. I mean, I've pretty much chosen this. Like, I love going climbing all the time. I like the lifestyle. You know, I like, you know, if taking selfies and signing posters is like the work that I do, I'm like, that's pretty awesome. You know, because I mean, really, I dropped out of college. I have no education. I have no real talents of any kind. I'd be like laying brick if I wasn't a climber, or like doing something heinous. You know, I'd be like tarring roofs in the California sun. I'm
like,
this
that's
is
being
a,
generous. Dude.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be like digging ditches somewhere, and I'm like, this is pretty. This is a pretty good gig, you know.
So you really don't have a plan B, you know, or anything.
No, I'm sure I'd come up with something, but yeah. But this is, I mean, this is a good...
I mean,
good,
Cedar's multi-talented.
Yeah,
yeah, no,
no,
I mean, it is true, actually, that
yeah.
Cedar has a very diverse empire going. You know, he's got a lot of things going on. I don't really. So, you know, I like what I'm doing.
You better keep cranking the gnar, dude. Yeah, it's all over.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think about, you know, this... There was an article even written that the women in climbing have just had a really good year. Where's the performance gap? It's closing.
Gap. Yeah, it's small.
Big time.
I don't know if it's closing. Is it?
Well,
I mean
we'll
I think
look,
it's a
look
really
look at it
nice
from a numerically, right? So we now have a woman that's done
15A. So yeah, it's two grades.
Two grades. That's not much.
I know, but I feel like
compared
that's
to look
pretty
at the 4 minute, look at the time for the mile or something. It's a much larger gap, in my opinion. I actually have this whole theory that because I think there's climbing is such a diverse,
multifaceted
sport,
like yeah, there's so
that
many
there's
elements
so many
to
advantages
it.
That like women tend to have better balance, better flexibility.
Right.
You know what I mean? They can be more measured. There's like they have different personalities, and there's others. It's just so much. Climbing is such a like multifaceted sport that like there's a lot of advantages to being a woman.
So
you know,
help us like climbers that can jump grades when you first start pretty easy. You know, from 5'9" to 5'10", 5'11", then it's there's some slowing down. But when you said it's just two grades away, how long does it take to get those final two grades? I mean, that separates the elite.
Well, I don't think
from...
it's necessarily the number of grades. It's like how close you are to your potential. I mean, at a certain point, everybody has their genetic potential. You know, I mean, and like with Olympians, that's what sort of separates like the gold medal from the silver from whatever. I mean, some people Are genetically gifted and stuff. And I think with climbing, we're getting closer and closer to that.
Yeah, it was
people
actually
who were like,
we were just in Chile with Alex Magos, who's arguably the hardest climber in the world right now, other than maybe Adam Ondra. And we had this really interesting conversation about that. And he was saying, yeah, it's getting like right to the edge of what's, you know, possible, you know.
Because Alex Magos is obviously gifted, but he's also been training in the way an Olympian would train for the last 10 years, I guess. He's 23. Yeah. Basically, since he was a child, he's been training like a regimented with a trainer in a gym in Germany. And I mean, it shows. You see him climbing, you're like, oh my goodness. Like, that's like a totally different sport.
So, Cedar, you know, is that the opposite of what your article is about? I mean, because Alex is pretty trained.
Yeah, he's super trained. Well, so I guess one of my big takeaways, I think, just like, so, like, and this is something I think that beginner climbers need to hear, is that, like, there's this overemphasis, I think, placed on training too early. And I think that before you start, like, campusing or doing fingerboarding workouts or anything like that, you need to just get good at the fundamentals of climbing,
and,
you know?
And to Alex Magos' credit, I mean, he's been climbing, his whole family climbed since he was a child, so he didn't start training in earnest until he was, like, 13 or 14. So he'd already been climbing for 10 years, which...
That's a long time.
Yeah, which is quite a long time. So he had a solid base, like, solid fundamentals, like, good movement. You know, I mean, he knew how to climb, and then he sort of started training.
How often do you actually train versus just climb every day, or as often as you can?
I've been getting more into it sort of over the last couple of years. I'm sort of gradually getting more into the systematic training side of it a bit.
Mostly because
a couple of things. One, I certainly sort of have better facilities for it now. I mean, I'm slightly less dirt bag, just like living in the dirt in a car and climbing, less scrappy. Like my new van has a hangboard in it, so I can actually do workouts like that if I want to.
I told you we needed a hangboard.
Yeah. Though this van's too low. But so partially that, and then partially just because seeing the results, you know, like all my friends have been training seriously. You know, people like Alex Magos or Adam Ondra train seriously, and you see that they just perform at a higher level. And standards are changing, you know, like... When I first got into the full-time climbing scene 10 years ago, you know, if you climb mid-514, that was, like, pretty hardcore. Mm-hmm. And now it's, like, if you climb mid-515, it's hardcore, and you're just like, whoa, like, the world changes.
So how comfortable are you being you, and then how much competitiveness do you have in you to be better than some other climbers?
That's a pretty deep question.
Yeah. I wouldn't say there's a lot of, I mean, I'm competitive with maybe like Cedar or somebody, you know.
Because he likes to win.
Yeah. No, I would say there's very little competition with other climbers, mostly just because.
Internally, you don't, like, because I feel like Alex is like, that's all, like, it's Megas? Just ingrained, yeah.
No, he's not competitive.
No, I don't think so.
No, he doesn't care at all.
No, I think, it's like.
I mean, he cares about his performance. He cares about, like, being strong and feeling strong and, like, being good at what he does. But I don't, no, I mean, had he not won that competition, he would not have cared,
no,
you know?
No.
Like, you can't imagine him, like, crying on the podium because he got second, you know? No. Like, he's whatever. Like, as long as he climbs well, like, he's stoked. And that's kind of how I feel about it. Like, you know, I mean, I know when I climb well or when I don't.
So maybe it's inspiration versus competitive. You see somebody do something that's pretty inspiring and you want to. Maybe
Matt. Well, I agree with that for sure. I mean, seeing Alex Magos climbing, I'm like, man, I should probably be training a little harder. Because, like, the level of strength he has is just, it's such a different level that you're just like, wow. Like, you know, obviously I should be working a little harder.
And there could only be a couple of those, right? There's the Magos and the Ondra, the absolute outer limits of climbing, you know? And so, I mean, I can say personally from my experiences being, like, a professional, well-known climber who can barely climb, like, maybe 13E. It's like, I've done a
That's
couple easy
generous.
13Cs.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of 13Cs.
I don't know.
I have, dude.
Yeah, I've seen his abs.
Like, Red Point, you know.
I know. Well, that's,
but so anyways, at a very, like, not at the top level of climbing.
Yeah.
And, you know, but so at some point, you know, like, imagine how it feels to be, like, a professional famous climber, you know, who's not, like, a cutting-edge climber, you know. At some point, you have to let go of your ego and realize, you know what, I just love climbing, and I just, like, want to be as good at it as I can be. And push my own personal limits, and also just remember why you got into it in the first place, which is that, you know, the movement, the athleticism, just the adventure, the beautiful places it puts you in, all those things that made me love climbing in the beginning, you know, were the things that are still important to me today. And of course, like, I like to burn somebody off, like, at the climbing gym. Like, I burned off this 12-year-old yesterday. Noah, shout out if you're listening. He was really impressively strong.
Yeah.
He needed that reminder.
Yeah, I'm all, yeah, did, yeah. What's up? It was a reach problem. But you know,
like,
whatever. Yeah, I'm all time to grow. But no, you know, I mean, you just gotta have. I mean, at some point, like, you're not gonna be the best, no matter how good you are, and you just need to remember that this is supposed to be fun, and you're supposed to just push it.
Well, and climbing has so many different elements to it that nobody's really the best at everything anyway. I mean,
totally,
even someone like Alex Magus, if you put him on a 5'9" off with, you will grovel. Like, I mean, he can't climb cracks.
Put him on Astroman and take away the rope and see how he does.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, he'd probably be okay. He would lie back at a 5'14", and he'd be like, "I got so pumped, but I was so scared, I just kept hanging on." You'd be like, "Wow, respect."
Respect, yeah. Like,
but
how do you guys respond, or maybe you don't get it much negative in the media, you know, towards Alex? Maybe the way, you know, your style of climbing, obviously, sometimes ropeless. And then Cedar, I don't have anything negative to say about you, so I don't
know
if there are any.
Thank you, and I would like to keep it that way.
All right.
No,
yet you still got fired by a Cliff Bar.
I know,
for being too dangerous.
Yeah. Well, I was just dangerous by association.
Right? Yeah. And three other people.
Yeah.
Okay, but.
Yeah. I was just dangerous by association. They were like, dude, he hangs out with Honnold. He's off the team. I'm all, normally it's good to be associated with Honnold.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, it's a weird, I think the climbing community is pretty accepting and pretty nice for the most part.
There's not that much negative, so it's mostly in like mainstream media,
and that's what I'm thinking
where
of.
People don't totally understand climbing and how it works, and that's like, you know, basically, who cares? I mean, you know, we do the things that we love to do because we love to do them, you know. It's like, it doesn't really matter if somebody who's never climbed before like doesn't quite understand it and thinks that you're, you know, that you have a death wish and that you're going to throw it all away. It's like, whatever.
So your aspirations, Alex, I mean, you got some left, I'm sure. Quite a few lines are calling, or
We'll see.
Do you have something soon, like this summer or spring?
No, I mean, a couple potential big trips coming up. Maybe going to Alaska this summer to climb some of like the biggest walls in North America.
Antarctica.
And then, Cedar just asked me about going to Antarctica next winter, which I think I am. I think I'm pretty stoked. Obviously, we'll talk about it but I think it's likely that I'll go. And so, you know, just have big trips like that and just
cool.
General adventure.
Well, we're excited for your presentation tonight. What's the advice you guys always give? I think I asked Cedar, give the young ones that when they're starting to train and they want to grow up to be professional climbers.
It's so funny because
learn to program computers instead.
Yeah, totally.
Or at least also.
I don't know. I just think it's funny because people nowadays ask, like, oh, you know, if a kid wants to be a professional climber, and I'm like, when I was growing up, it just didn't exist. There weren't professional climbers. So it's kind of interesting, like, how the whole industry has changed and how that's, like, a thing now. I'm like, I don't know. Because I sort of came, like, slightly before there was an industry, it feels like.
Yeah. Well, no, that's not true, though. Peter Croft was, like, a professional climber.
Yeah, but barely,
No, it's not like, the same way. Social media has changed everything.
Yeah, social media has changed a lot.
And everything's changed so much that I would say that, like, my only advice to them is be like, the future's coming and embrace it. Because, like, you know, to have a career in any field is going to be on the forefront of whatever's happening, right?
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it's like, you know, like, so maybe in this age it was like, oh, if you had a good Instagram and Facebook game, that, you know, people literally have careers just off of that nowadays.
Yeah, but that's so unfortunate.
It is.
I think that's kind of lame.
Yeah, it is. Well, but the person who has, like, who's really good at Facebook and Instagram but also has a lot of passion and love for what they're doing, then
is if it's backed by substance, like, if they're truly good at what they're doing or if they're contributing in some way or, like, actually doing something, you know, but just, like, I kind of hate the full social media fluff.
Me too. I hate that too. Yeah. But that's just the world we're in. All I can say is those kids is be clever and be, you know what I mean? Like, seriously,
if
there's
scrappy,
like some one kid out there listening right now and he's like,
you embody the whole scrappy, like making it work, you know, you're the world's most famous 512 rock climber.
No, 513B. Fuck you.
Well, you're the one that.
But I'll take that, you know, it's fine.
Alex, do you get pressure to do social from your sponsors?
I don't get much pressure, but I mean, I think people want me. I don't know. I just do what I want to do, and that's it. Which is I don't know.
It's pretty chill, dude.
I keep it pretty mellow.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
I think that's why my social stuff is all like worked okay, because it's pretty real. Yeah.
Authenticity
sells. I mean, authenticity is a big deal, and so
authenticity is the easiest thing to do. You know.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, it's so authentic, and you're like, yeah, because I just like do it myself from time to time, like when I want to, when, you know, like, I mean, being like honest and being authentic is actually the easiest way to manage all your stuff, because you know, you don't have to like think about it at all. You just do what you want to do.
I think surprisingly hard for some people though, because I think a lot of people are afraid of being themselves, afraid of like being honest about how they feel, afraid of what people might think of them if they're like their authentic selves.
Well, it helps when you just don't give an F, you
know?
Exactly. Just like whatever.
Or even if you don't give a fuck.
And that is the best advice you could both give.
Yeah, just
Oh, thanks so much for spending some time with us. Anything else you wanted to mention or?
No, this is just a privilege. I think I was going to address, I mean, this is all information that's sort of out there as far as that, you know, always something new as opposed to revisiting, you know, older things as far as constantly needing that next thrill or revisiting older climbing or older activities. I mean, you don't just climb.
Yeah.
You fly a little bit too.
You mean the contrast between like constantly needing to do something different versus like just enjoying your climbing or reclimbing the same routes or what do you mean exactly?
No, that exactly.
Just,
yeah.
Yeah, no, like he's being nebulous just as
to respond to that.
Yeah, for me, I've always been one of those people who like I've never been a circuit guy. I've never been one of those guys who likes to even repeat routes that much. I'm like, oh, I've done it, and I kind of move on. For the most part, with a few exceptions, like the rostrum, and
totally.
I don't do that a million times.
I'm exactly the same.
But I'm like, you and I are similar that way. Yeah. We always are like, what's the new climb? What's the next place to visit? You know, and a lot of my motivation comes from new areas, new climbs, new experiences, and on even new things like learning to paraglide. I don't know. Yeah. So, and you're sort of similar.
I thought actually, so the whole subject, I thought about this a lot actually when Dean Potter died, like, which is like 2 years ago now. Is that 2 years? Yeah. That's crazy. But I thought about it a lot in terms of like the, like at the time I thought the achievement treadmill, like you're on this treadmill where you're constantly trying to do something harder, bigger, like more extreme. And like the problem with the treadmill is like you have to get off at some point before you get like jettisoned off the back of the treadmill. And I was like thinking about Dean because, you know, I mean, he'd been on that treadmill for a long time, and I always thought that he like kept it pretty safe, and that, you know, he was probably going to survive to old age. But then, obviously, he didn't. I don't know. I mean, it's just a good reminder that you have to get off the treadmill at some point.
No, but I think that's a good analogy.
It's all about, well, it's all about knowing when.
Yeah, I think, you know, at some point, you know, it's like, you know, you can you don't have to like push the outer limits or you know to be relevant even or to have fun. And to, you know,
well, I think that's a big part of what your climbing career has shown is that, you know, as long as you're out doing cool adventures that are inspiring to people or interesting to people or just getting out there and doing things. I mean, like the Sufferfest tours are a good example of that because they're like they're not performance in any way. You know, like any kind of cardio athlete could go out and do the things that we were doing on a bicycle and hiking and you know, they could do that in a third of the time and they'd look all fresh and happy the whole time as opposed to like super haggard like us. But just by going out and like having some sort of creative adventure and then sharing that with people, I think that's enough to, you know, or sometimes
totally.
You don't have to
so.
Be like pushing the limits all the time.
Certainly, yeah. I mean, there's like at least like probably 14 climbers who haven't had as, you know, successful a career as me just having fun and just having crazy adventures and documenting.
Yeah, totally.
So, you know.
And doing a good job of sharing them with people.
Totally.
In a way that they relate to and like care about.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big part of it, is that documenting. And we certainly appreciate that, those of us that enjoy your films and your adventures vicariously.
Yeah, nice. They're awesome.
Nice. They're fantastic. And Honnold's a good dude, and I like to, you know, I think one of the strengths of Sufferfest was just showing that to people, you know, that he's kind of a quirky, interesting character and stuff, you know, so.
He has a great sense of humor.
Yeah, but I feel like it's on its deathbed, I feel like, you know.
Because it only makes fun of you when you finally croak off nothing. I'll be like, oh, man.
He'll be like, I need another chubby to make fun of.
Yeah.
You two need each other. You know you do.
So lovely. Yeah,
well, they are calling for you in the VIP room. So we'll wrap up here. Thanks so much for spending some time with us on the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show. Welcome to Ogden.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Both of you guys. And
thanks
have a good
us.
Show tonight.
Awesome. Yep. Thanks a lot.
Sweet. Thank you.
Thank you so much, you guys.
Yeah. That was actually a good conversation.
That was super fun.
Yeah.
That was a good show.